I grew up as a Muslim in Yemen, but I start to doubt about Islam.
Real life starts now.
This is Real Life Radio Show with On Lay.
I felt alone. I felt lost. I felt scared.
Real stories.
I was so desperate in living such a dark and calloused life.
Real people.
I was thinking there was no purpose for my life. There's no reason for me to be here.
Real problems.
I told my dad, if you try to take these drugs, I'm going to kill you.
One solution. God.
Hope is a person, and his name is Jesus.
And now your host, On Lay.
Hi, this is Evangelist On Lay. Welcome to the Real Life Radio Show, where we're going to talk to real people who had real problems but found answers in a real God. Today, we're going to discover the truth about what it's like inside of Yemen, which has a 90 to 99% Muslim population. The country is comprised of mostly Sunni Muslims, and the rest are Shia Muslims and Zaydi Muslims. The nation has little to no Jews or Christians. Is there a reason for that? Well, today we'll have John Ghanim join us, who is a former Muslim in Yemen, and he's going to share with us what his experience was as he was growing up and how he suffered through a lot of doubt about the religion of Islam, which, by the way, is not allowed. John, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
John, it's great having you with us today. And to be honest, you are the first person from Yemen who I've ever interviewed, so I'm really excited. I understand there are three main sects of Muslims in Yemen, Shia, Sunni, and Zaydi Muslims. Which one were you as a child, and did you know that there was a difference at the time?
Yes, I was grew up into a Muslim family, part of Shi'i.
Oh, the Shia Muslims.
Yes, and I know the difference, of course, yeah, because the family will teach you how to become a real Shi'i Muslim.
Okay. So what were they teaching you about the Shia Muslims and Sunni and Zaydi?
Yeah, they will teach you how to pray in certain way. They have different books. They have the same Quran, but they follow the family of Muhammad and his daughter Fatima. Mm. So you will follow only certain ways, certain rules according to Shi'i.
I see.
And they will say Sunni will not go to heaven.
Oh, wow. So basically, Shia is saying that it's the real way, but Sunni and Zaydi is not the real way. Is that correct? Like a false way?
Yes.
Wow. I didn't know that. That's so good to know. So growing up as a Shia Muslim, how were you trained as a young man? Like, tell us about what it was like growing up in a country where, you know, there's a theocracy that used Sharia law.
Yes, I was born and raised into a Muslim family, and my family taught me how to pray, how to bow down to Allah and his house in Mecca, Saudi Arabia. They taught me to read Quran, to memorize Quran by heart. I used to love, you know, Islam because all my friends, my society, the village, the city and the country are Muslim. So I don't know if there is a Christians or no.
Oh, so basically this was the world for you. Like everyone's Muslim, like the whole world is Muslim. This is the way to live life, right?
Yes, that's how I grew up.
Wow. So you're totally surrounded by it. So then during that time, though, you were taught that there was an enemy. Who was that? And how were you taught these things?
So the enemy, they always told us that Jews and Christians, they are infidels. And in Islam, they teach death to America, death to Israel.
Wow.
And they say God is the greatest, and death to America, death to Israel, and to Jews and Christians, and victory to Islam.
Wow.
So you will grow up that these Christians and Jews are infidels.
So like infidels, can you define that? Like what was your thought as a child? What did that mean to you?
Infidels, like they are unclean. They will go to hellfire. Allah will not accept them because they are not Muslims. They don't follow Muhammad and Quran. And yeah, they are unclean.
Wow. So unclean. Now, let me ask you a question, my friend, because I understand that the Muslim faith is almost like an indoctrination when you're going to Sharia law. And that's what we were talking about before. What was school like? I understand you had to memorize the Quran at 5 years of age. How did they get you to do that?
Basically, your family, they will teach you Quran before school in your father's household. They have to, because this is how the Muslims, they become like brainwashed.
Oh, wow.
And that's what my family did. And when you go to school, you have to study Islam and Quran, two subjects. And you have to memorize them in school. And if you don't memorize them, the teacher will beat you.
Beat you? Like what? Like a spanking on the bottom or what?
Yeah, in your hands, like by stick.
Wait, oh my gosh. They would take a stick and hit your hands as a five-year-old?
Yeah, seven, five, six, yeah.
Holy cow. Okay, so wait a minute here. Can you tell me of a story, what that was like in the first time that that happened that you can remember? Can you describe the story of what happened?
Yes, I remember when I was at school, once I forget to memorize one of surah, like the whole chapter.
Oh.
And the following day, the teacher, he asked each one of us as a student, and he came to me. I wasn't ready to repeat it to him, and he beat me like 15 times.
15 times in the hands?
Yes, in the hands, yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's so painful. Okay, have we talked just like a little whack, or was it a very, you know, and how big of a stick here? Is it a thin stick, like a bamboo stick? Well, what kind of stick? A metal stick?
Yeah, it's like a thin one, thin stick.
Thin stick, and it's wood?
Yes, wood, yes.
Oh my gosh. And was it like just a little whack, or was it like kind of a very hard, where it'd leave like a mark on the hand or something like that? Tell us about that.
It's very hard.
Oh my gosh, that's horrible. John, I am so sorry you went through that.
Yeah, I think most of Muslims, most of Arabic schools, they go through this.
So what does that do to a young child? What did that cause you to feel? I mean, you know, in the United States, they'd consider that a form of child abuse. How did that make you feel on the inside when that was happening to you?
So you have to accept it, because the whole society, the whole system, it's built like that. So you have to accept it. Mm-hmm. And you have to memorize it the following day or the next month. So you have to do it. And you have to be proud of that.
Wow. You have to be very proud if you pass that.
Yeah.
So how did you feel when you passed the test? I mean, I'm sure you were very motivated to memorize it at that point.
Because there is no other way.
Wow.
You can't. You have to memorize it. Because if you don't memorize it, he will beat you again and again and again.
Oh my gosh. So how did you feel after you passed it? Like, was it just kind of like, oh my gosh, thank God?
Of course.
Or what happens?
At the end of the year, when I passed, I felt so proud that, yes, I did it. Because, you know, it felt like so good to memorize Quran and in front of your family, your friends.
Wow. So people are kind of like applauding you. They're saying, wow, good job, John. You memorized it. You passed that test. You know, keep going kind of thing. Is it encouraging like that?
Of course, yeah, because it's like, as we said before, it's like brainwash and culture things and religious things. So it all came together.
Wow. Now, what were you being taught by your environment if you didn't want to be Muslim anymore or Muslim? What would happen?
That's impossible. You can't even question about that, because in Islam, in Quran, there is a verse that says if you ask about anything from Islam, from Quran, it will be bad for you. So you can't ask, you can't like say, I'm going to leave Islam, or there is like a choice to leave Islam. There is no choice.
Really?
Yeah, because there is a death penalty.
Death penalty. So if a Muslim wants to doubt or not believe anymore, that's not an option. You will die in Sharia law. Is that correct?
Definitely. They will kill you, yeah.
And kill you how?
They're gonna like shoot you.
Oh my gosh.
Shoot you, or yeah.
Did you see that ever happen when you were a child?
I haven't seen it, because nobody dared to do that.
Okay, so it's very well understood that if you do this.
Very well. Yeah, yeah, because you will understand since you were a child. So there is no question about that.
So what's it like to live in fear like that?
Yeah, you have to adapt it. It's very hard when you grow up and you can't think about it. Because if you think about it, there is fear, even fear from Allah, that he will put you in hellfire.
Wow. So it's just a very uncomfortable lifestyle. John, let's stop here. I want to have you on our next show so we can talk more about how you started doubting, which now that you're telling me that, that's scary being in that environment. So John, it really, really is an honor having you with us. Thanks so much for explaining what your life was growing up.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Don't go anywhere. Let's go a little deeper and analyze what you just heard right after the short break.
If you have a testimony you would like to share, you can audition to be on our show. just go to www.therealliferadioshow.com. Click on Tell Us Your Story and follow the directions. You can fill out the guest release form and we will get back with you as soon as possible. If you need prayer or someone to talk to, you can always text us at 877-325-8030. Again, that's 877-325-8030. We look forward to seeing your text.
Real Life Radio is a ministry of Awakening the Nations, a 501c3 nonprofit organization that depends on your donations. If you would like to find out more about us or to make a tax-deductible donation, please visit our website at www.therealliferadioshow.com. That's www.therealliferadioshow.com. Please help us to expand the reach of these shows. We couldn't do it without you. More Real Life starts now.
Welcome back to the show. We're going to go deeper into what you just heard. So what do you think about this? To me, these are some honest truths. I think many need to hear about what's going on. It's important to understand what's going on in radical Islamic countries from childhood to adult jihad. It helps you to understand how some of these extreme situations of bombings, killings, shootings, that these have occurred from those committing jihad. Well, let's first define jihad. Jihad literally means a struggle or striving. It's the propagation and enforcement of the Islamic religion. Jihad is very unique to the Islamic faith and mainly belongs to them, where there is an encouragement in the Quran to make quote-unquote war with the infidels. Many think that Islam is a peaceful religion, and for some, it can be as long as that person is ignoring some key verses within the Quran. Like in Surah 3, 151, it's written, "We shall cast terror into the hearts of those who disbelieve," all non-Muslims is what it's talking about. And in Surah chapter 2, 191, "And kill them wherever you find them, kill them." That's quote-unquote, like mainly speaking about non-Muslims. It says, "Such is the recompense of the disbelievers." It's no wonder why radical Muslims are thinking they're right to commit acts of terrorism, because by the propagation of the Islamic faith by enforcement, as seen in many of those Islamic countries that are following the Quran to the T. But as you heard from John, there's a lot of fear being used to propagate the enforcement of Islamic law within their own followers, and fear gripped John when he was a Muslim. It's no wonder why he became a Christian and started following verses that helped him to resolve the fear he grew up as a child. For it is written in 1 John chapter 4:18, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love." Isn't that quite a contrast? Let's hear more from John's story, but I want to pray for the person who might be coerced into something by fear. Father God, I'm thankful that you are a God of freedom, a God that wants us to choose you, not a God that forces us to choose you. We thank you, Lord, that you are the God of liberty. Lord God, for the person who's thinking about that, let us choose you today. We ask for this in Jesus' mighty name. I hope you're blessed by this testimony, and I know that your life was touched.
To listen to more shows, search us online at The Real Life Radio Show with Anlay, spelled A-N-H-L-E. You can find us on Spotify, Alexa, and others. See you next time.